Arthur was thrashing about hopelessly 2 or 3 miles behind her on the upward side of the hill. What to do? This was hopeless. He was absolutely sodden, his clothes heavy and billowing with the rain, and now he was lost in the dark as well. For a brief second he was lost in the blinding light, and then he was lost in the dark again. The sheet of lightning had at least shown him that he was very close to the brow of the hill. Once he had breasted that, he would... Well, he wasn't certain what he would do. He'd have to work that out when he got there. He limped forward and upwards. A few minutes later, he knew that he was standing panting at the top. There was some kind of dim glow in the distance below him. He had no idea what it was, and indeed he hardly liked to think. It was the only thing he had to make towards, though, so he started to make his way, stumbling, lost and frightened, towards it. The flash of lethal light passed straight through Random, and, about 2 seconds later, so did the man who had shot it. Other than that, he paid her no attention whatsoever. He had shot someone standing behind her, and when she turned to look, he was kneeling over the body and going through its pockets. The tableau froze and vanished. It was replaced a second later by a giant pair of teeth, framed by immense and perfectly glossed red lips. A huge blue brush appeared out of nowhere and started foamily to scrub at the teeth, which continued to hang there gleaming in the shimmering curtain of rain. Random blinked at it twice before she got it. It was a commercial. The guy who had shot her was part of a holographic in-flight movie. She must now be very close to where the ship had crashed. Obviously, some of its systems were more indestructible than others. The next half mile of the journey was particularly troublesome. Not only did she have the cold and the rain and the night to contend with, but also the fractured and thrashing remains of the ship's onboard entertainment system. Spaceships and jet cars and helipods crashed and exploded continuously around her, illuminating the night. Villainous people in strange hats smuggled dangerous drugs through her, and the combined orchestra and chorus of the Halipolis State Opera performed the closing march of the Angerquantine Star Guard from Act 4 of Risgar's Blamwellamum of Woont in a little glade somewhere off to her left. And then she was standing on the lip of a very nasty-looking and bubbly-edged crater. There was still a faint warm glow coming from what would otherwise have looked like an enormous piece of caramelised chewing gum in the centre of the pit. The melted remains of a great spaceship. She stood looking at it for a longish while, and then at last started to walk along and around the edge of the crater. She was no longer certain what she was looking for, but kept moving anyway, keeping the horror of the pit to her left. The rain was beginning to ease off a little, but it was still extremely wet, and since she didn't know what it was that was in the box, whether it was perhaps something delicate or damageable, she thought she ought to find somewhere reasonably dry to open it. She hoped she hadn't already damaged it by dropping it. She played her torch around the surrounding trees, which were thin on the ground here, and mostly charred and broken. In the middle distance, she thought she could see a jumbled outcrop of rock which might provide some shelter, and she started to pick her way towards it. All around she found the detritus that had been ejected from the ship as it broke up before the final fireball. After she had moved 200 or 300 yards from the edge of the crater, she came across the tattered fragments of some fluffy pink material, sodden, muddied, and drooping amongst the broken trees. She guessed, correctly, that this must be the remains of the escape cocoon that had saved her father's life. She went and looked at it more closely, and then noticed something close to it on the ground, half covered in mud. She picked it up and wiped the mud off it. It was some kind of electronic device the size of a small book. Feebly glowing on its cover, in response to her touch, were some large, friendly letters. They said, "Don't panic." She knew what this was. It was her father's copy of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. She felt instantly reassured by it, turned her head up to the thundery sky, and let some rain wash over her face and into her mouth. She shook her head and hurried on towards the rocks. Clambering up and over them, she almost immediately found the perfect thing, the mouth of a cave. She played her torch into its interior. It seemed to be dry and safe. Picking her way carefully, she walked in. It was quite spacious, but didn't go that deep. Exhausted and relieved, she sat on a convenient rock, put the box down in front of her, and started immediately to open it. End of CD 4.